This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 4th of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Gillian DeBias, and today I'm joined in studio by Little White Lies editor David Jenkins. Today, we're going to be discussing American indie flick Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, the psychosexual drama Buttercup Bill, and Iranian British director Nima Nourizadeh's film American Ultra. That's all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, David. Now, let's start with Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, a film based on a novel by Jesse Andrews. To begin with, can you set this film up for us?
Well, this film has a kind of interesting history because it were premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in 2015. And when it was there, it basically sparked off a huge bidding war, got huge critical acclaim, and suddenly it was this very, very kind of in demand, in like very
white hot
movie that a lot of people were excited to see. And you know, Fox Studio had this amazing property on their hands, and I'm not sure they knew what to do with it, because it's kind of a strange movie. It's sort of links into all these kind of, you know, the Nicholas Sparks novels about kind of, you know, teenagers in love and moping about, you know, relations and things like that, and it kind of comes from that tradition, but it's a kind of comedy as well, and it's quite kind of surreal at times.
And the plot
is, well, it's the Me character is a young filmmaker in a high school, and his friend is Earl, and together they make comedy remakes of classic movies,
with
a twist, yeah, and it's all done in their backyard, and they collect all these weird art house DVDs, and they're obsessed with Werner Herzog, and they do impressions of him to get to each other as a joke, and one day they hear that one of their classmates, who they're not very they don't know very well, has been diagnosed with cancer, and their kind of world changes when they kind of get to know her a bit, and they're sort of learning her troubles, and they learn about each other, and it kind of gets to a point where the Me character, a character called Greg, played by Thomas Mann, he decides to make one of his movies for her as a kind of dying gift.
Well, let's have a listen of a clip from Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Your father and I want to talk to you about something sad. Rachel Kushner has been diagnosed with leukemia.
That sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks quite a bit.
You might be someone who could make Rachel feel better.
I don't need your stupid pity.
I'm not here because I pity you. I'm actually here because my mom is making me.
Who is this little friend?
Earl's just my coworker.
We make films.
The idea behind each one was, we took a film that we liked, and we made the title stupider, and then made a new film to reflect the new title. It's a formula that only produces horrible films, but for some reason we keep using it.
You need to make a film for Rachel.
You guys were making a movie for me.
A clip from the film Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Is this a comedy or is it a tragedy?
It's a tragicomedy. sorry to cop out there. It's one of those films that starts up very buoyant, upbeat, jokey, has all these very kind of ironic observations about being a teenager, you know, being in high school, cliques in high school, and the main character Greg is very kind of self-depreciatory, and but as the film moves on, and you know, Rachel's condition. Rachel's played by Olivia Cooke. As her condition kind of develops, the film obviously takes on a bit more heft and starts to deal with bigger questions about movies and what they can do and what their value is in the world, whether they can console you psychologically or medicinally, or whether they have any kind of greater value than just entertainment. And these are the questions that Greg has to sort of wrestle with in his mind whether he is actually going to be able to make something that will, you know, make Rachel's life more valuable as it kind of, as her sort of time ticks away.
It was interesting hearing you talk about the bidding war at Sundance. Sundance is so fiercely competitive for independent movies. So I'm interested in what it was about the film. Was it, you know, this script writing? Is it a smart script? Was it the originality? Is it cleverly directed? What were the elements?
It's interesting because I think it's all those things. It is really, it's really smart. It's well, it's a good adaptation. All the performances are very strong. It's very, it has a kind of, I mean, people have been using Wes Anderson as a sort of visual touchstone to the film, and the way it's edited and the, you know, the ironic beats in it are very much of that world. For me, there's just something. It's one of those things where it's the cliche of everything not quite adding up to the sum of its parts. I mean, it's kind of great on every individual level, but as a movie where everything is thrown together in a big pot, there's just something about it which doesn't quite come off for me. It's a bit, it's, I think it's really desperate to please, maybe, and you can really feel that in it.
Well, ye listeners, you can be the decider of that. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl is out now in Italy, Singapore and the UK, and soon to be followed in the Philippines, France and Germany. Now let's move on to Buttercup Bill, the first production from Sadie Frost and Emma Comley's production company, Blonde to Black Pictures. The film's been described as a psycho-sexual romance. Tell us more.
Well, it's a sort of strange, small budget, American-British co-production, I think, and it's kind of, I think you'd probably describe it as David Lynch goes Tennessee Williams. Although I probably would say it's not quite on a tier with those two powerhouses, really. But yeah,
tell us about the director.
The director is a female director called two female directors, Remy Bennett and Emile Richard Frozan. Remy Bennett actually stars in the film as the main character Penilla, who is this character who is, the film starts with a woman. News of a woman committing suicide, and Bennett's character kind of goes off the rails a bit in New York and is you know on drugs in clubs, doing all these things that she, you know, sort of abusing herself, I guess. And she decides in one reckless moment, she's a very sort of flighty character, and she decides in this reckless moment to get out of New York, find her head, and she heads to New Orleans, where she meets Patrick, this mysterious character who's kind of quite well turned out. He lives in this old, big old house, on, seemingly on his own. And they have this very kind of intense relationship that's also quite mysterious, and you don't really know the nature of it.
Well, we're going to have a little sound sampler now. This is a clip from the film Buttercup Bill.
How y'all know each other? Y'all are twins or something?
We grew up together.
She's like my sister.
We were wrong, and we cannot be together.
Like a murderer. Jumping out of nowhere in an alley. Love has jumped in front of us. Dreams are dangerous.
The sound of Buttercup Bill. And from that musical soundtrack, it kind of makes sense that Remy Bennett is, in fact, the daughter of the musician Tony Bennett. Is it a good soundtrack?
It's interesting. There are some decent songs at the beginning, at the end, where you have these sort of dream sequences where this cabaret chanteuse woman appears in the background and starts singing these lovely songs. But otherwise, I would have said that the soundtrack wasn't something that actually leapt out at me while I was watching it, to be honest.
What about the directing? I mean, a film directed by two directors, that spells trouble for me. Did they carry it off?
I have to say, and it pains me to say it, that it's not a very well directed film. I found it quite undisciplined, and the shots go on for too long, and the framing's quite boring, and You just get all these very weird, long, protracted shots that don't really go anywhere, and you're sort of, it's all kind of mysterious, but in an annoying rather than intriguing way. Yeah, I mean the film is shot on this very kind of harsh digital film as well, so it's almost like kind of that camera phone aesthetic to it. And when you're sort of dealing with the Deep South and that kind of Southern Gothic feel, it seems aesthetically at odds with that vibe, with that atmosphere. And it just all felt a little bit phony.
Well, for those who want to decide for themselves, Buttercup Bill has just been released in the UK and will be shown at the New Orleans Film Festival come October. Finally, David, we're going to talk about American Ultra, a new action comedy starring Jesse Eisenberg and Kirsten Stewart. Can you briefly set up the storyline for us?
This is a very strange film. Another film, all three films this week about young millennial couples. So you've got Jesse Eisenberg as a slacker trapped in a small Virginian town with his girlfriend, played by Kirsten Stewart. They seem to have this quite charmed life, living in this old shack with each other. They're very much in love, although Jesse Eisenberg seems to have these strange panic attacks whenever he tries to leave town. And what it transpires, the reason for these panic attacks are that he's actually, and I don't think this is a spoiler because it's the main thrust of the film, but it turns out that he is actually a CIA-sponsored killing machine assassin who is been deprogrammed and placed in this small town out of harm's way. And the story then kind of leaps from there, I guess.
And we shall have a little listen to one of those leaps. Here is a clip from American Ultra.
I just killed two people.
That's awesome.
They had guns and knives and they were being like total dicks.
Did you call the cops?
No, I didn't call the police because I have like a lot of weed and like mushrooms in my car.
How did this happen?
I don't know, but I'm like freaking out all over the place, babe. I have a lot of anxiety about this. I'm sorry.
Drop it!
This guy, he's a trained killer. We made him. He's a security risk.
So you're gonna blow up a town.
A clip from the film American Ultra. Tell us a little bit about the director.
Well, he is, as you say, British-Iranian director. This is only, I think, his second feature as a director. He's done lots of music videos. He made this movie, a very kind of controversial movie called Project X, which was essentially this non-narrative film about some kids who have a house party, and the film is essentially how the house party expands and expands and expands, and then the film kind of ends, and it's just about the biggest, brashest house party ever. And there is definitely something of that in this movie as well, in that it's going to, when the film came out in the US, it was very divisive, and some people loved it, some people hated it. Didn't seem to be any kind of middle ground on it. And he is quite what he's doing with this movie, he's got a very winsome, cute love story between the two central characters, but then he's also coupling that with really quite dark violence and conspiracy theories and drone strikes and some stuff that's quite heavy.
It hasn't done that well at the box office, as you've sort of hinted to. The screenwriter apparently says it's because Hollywood is obsessed by sequels, and a lot of the film goers are not open to originality. Is this an original film or just a film that's not working very well?
Well, that is interesting. Max Landis went out onto Twitter and made all these accusations and had this kind of screed. Well, personally speaking, I think it's original. I mean, maybe looking at it from outside, it doesn't seem original in that it's two actors we know very well, a storyline that's quite simple, and there's explosions, there's fighting, there's love, and it's all those things we know so well. But I think in the nuance of the film and what it's trying to say and what it's about, it is an original movie, I think. I guess when people talk about original movies now, I think what they mean is it's not a superhero movie, it's not a franchise movie, it's not a kind of kids animation with talking cars in it. So I mean, I think original now covers everything else that's non-franchise, non-sequels, and I guess this does fit that bill.
Now, of course, Jesse Eisenberg, we saw in Facebook, Social Network, rather. How does a very different part, this part, how does he fare as an actor?
I mean, I'm run very hot and cold on Jesse Eisenberg, and sometimes feel that he does have his kind of rote performance style. And he kind of does his same thing here, but I just found it worked really well in this context. And, you know, seeing him be his nervy, jittery self, but actually in the context of all this violence and mayhem, it just seemed to work really well. It is like Mark Zuckerberg with explosions and ram raiding and
long, you know, hair.
Yeah, and long hair as well.
And what about Kristen Stewart? How does she do?
I think that she is a really great actor. I mean, some of the movies she's been in since... She was in the movie Clouds of Sils Maria, which won her a César Award in France, which was a really big deal. But she, I think post the Twilight films, which are the films that made her famous, she's just turned into a really, really great actor. And I think she really takes this part seriously in this film, even though it's clearly a tongue-in-cheek, quite silly film. She's very, very sincere, as is Jesse Eisenberg as well. And it kind of really lifts what could have been quite a kind of caricatured, throwaway, almost sort of screwball character. I think that's what, for me, makes the film really work, is that they both bring a lot of heart and soul to these roles in a film which doesn't necessarily require it. And it lifts it all up. And actually, in the end, what you remember it for is their really beautiful relationship, and not the explosions and the fighting.
Interesting. Well, American Ultra is out now in the US of A, Netherlands and India. And for any of you in Australia, Spain and Brazil, you won't have to wait too long before the film will be showing in your territory. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. David Jenkins, thank you so much for joining us in studio. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. My producer was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again next Monday when we'll be speaking to Jane Morris from the Art Newspaper. But for me, for now, thanks very much for listening and have a great weekend.